Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide, with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz, and in this episode, I will be talking about the North. I'll be discussing some of the notable people, places, and historical events that happen in the largest of the Seven Kingdoms. Before I start the discussion, there are a couple of things to know. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read the novels in the A Song of Ice and Fire saga. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows that may be adapted by Max in the future. So if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, this will not be a definitive episode of everything about the North, as there really is a lot of information about all the notable houses mentioned in the novels, the additional information written by George R. R. Martin, and collected by various fans, including the contributors of Westeros.org. Throughout this season of the Westerosi Primer, I will be using information gathered from the novel series, Westeros.org, The World of Ice and Fire, and The Lands of Ice and Fire. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. The North is the largest of the Seven Kingdoms. It also makes up roughly half of mainland Westeros. Despite its large size, this kingdom is lightly populated due to the harsh climate. Even when it is summer, it periodically snows. This is also a reason why, in comparison to the more southern kingdoms, the North is poor. This, along with the fact a majority of North claim descent from the First Men and worship the Old Gods. The northern border of the North is the Gift and the Wall. Beyond the Wall are wild lands full of wandering clans of wildlings and creatures. Of course, fans of Game of Thrones know there are a lot more than just that beyond the Wall. The southern border of the North is the Neck, which is mostly swampland filled with all sorts of animals that can cause the death of unwary travelers. A ruined castle called Moat Cailin stands as the primary man-made defense against land invasion from the south. Despite the close relationship between the North and the Vale due to the friendship and later family relationship between the Starks and the Arryns, there has long been disputes between the two kingdoms. This is primarily due to the differences in the cultures of the two kingdoms, along with the border disputes involving the three islands known as the Three Sisters, which swear fealty to the Vale. Centuries after the First Men arrived, Andals began their invasion, bringing along their religion, the Seven Who Are One, or the New Gods. The Andals couldn't make much headway, as they had to deal with fighting in a land with a fierce climate and going up against fierce people, especially a fierce people led by King Theon Stark. The history of the North goes back thousands of years. and this history heavily involves House Stark. You can't necessarily have a discussion about Northern history without talking about the Starks, so they will be the first house I talk about here. Legend and history says that the first people to live in Westeros were the Children of the Forest. They were people who possessed magic and worshipped the old gods. They were also the ones who created the Heart Trees, which were weirwood trees that had faces carved into the trunks. It is said that the gods needed the faces in order to see into the world. Prayers to the gods were done in front of the Heart Trees. The first humans to live in Westeros were First Men. The First Men invaded Westeros and war broke out between the Children and the First Men. It was said that the Children destroyed a land bridge between Westeros and Essos that was later referred to as the Arm of Dorne. Later, another attempt to stop First Men incursion was the Flooding of the Neck. Eventually, the war ended and a pact was made on the Isle of Faces in the God's Eye. I'll be discussing more about this particular island in a later episode. Later, there was, of course, the Long Night. During the legendary Age of Heroes, the Children and First Men joined in the fight against the White Walkers, or the Others in the novels. It was said once this coalition pushed back the White Walkers to the lands of Always Winter. A man known as Bran the Builder constructed the wall to protect the rest of Westeros from the return of the Icy Demons. Of course, Bran the Builder was a Stark and considered the progenitor of House Stark. There were many stories about Bran the Builder, including one legend that claims he is a descendant of Garth Greenhand, who is a figure I'll discuss in another episode. Aside from constructing the wall, there are various structures that allegedly were built by him: Winterfell, Storms, and the High Tower. Of course, I'll be discussing those last two structures more in later episodes. Over the course of the following centuries, House Stark fought with other minor kings in the north and over time defeated them. All the various kingdoms form what we know as the North, and the Starks became the Kings of Winter and King in the North. This title was later lost after Aegon's conquest and was later revived with Robb Stark. Winterfell, of course, as we know from Game of Thrones, is the home of House Stark. It is centrally located within the North and is not far from the King's Road. A few notable things about Winterfell are, of course, the hot springs that make the keep warm in the northern climate. There is the Great Heart Tree that members of House Stark worship under, and of course the crypts where the remains of Stark kings and lords are buried. Notably, one of the few women buried there is Lyanna Stark. Before I move on to some of the other notable houses in the north, I'll mention a few notable Starks. After Bran the Builder, we have Bran the Breaker, who was the king who joined with a wildling chieftain named Jorah Mun to defeat a figure known as the Night's King. In the TV show, the Night King is the leader of the White Walkers. However, in the novels, there is no evidence thus far that there is a leader of the White Walkers. In fact, we know nothing much about them other than their necromancy and the threat they pose to the living. In the novels, there is a legend of a 13th Lord Commander of the Night's Watch who became known as the Night's King. The legend says that he saw a mysterious woman beyond the wall. He marries her and they declare themselves as king and queen of the wall and perform sacrifices to the White Walkers. It is suspected the woman was a female White Walker. This led to the Northmen and Wildlings uniting in order to defeat them. The name of this commander is lost to history, but there are speculations of who this man was. Amongst them was that he could have been a Stark or a Bolton, amongst the various possibilities. As I mentioned earlier, King Theon Stark, who was also known as the Hungry Wolf, drove out the Andals during their invasion of the North. To retaliate against them for their audacity, he and his army sailed to Andalos, the original home of the Andals, and sacked coastal villages. I'll talk more about Andalos in a later episode. Carlin Stark was a younger son of a Stark king. He defeated a rebellious lord and was later granted lands of his own. He built a castle originally called Carl's Hold and later became known as Carhold. He is the founder of House Karstark. Torrhen Stark was the last king in the north when he surrendered to the Targaryens rather than risk a brutal fiery death for his people. Some call him the king who knelt in derision of his choice. However, in hindsight, he was merely being a prudent leader trying to spare his people a horrible fate. This becomes a point of discussion during the later centuries with War of the Five Kings. As a fan of the novels and Apocrypha, I'm very excited about the inclusion of Cregan Stark in the upcoming season 2 of House of the Dragon. I won't do a long discussion of this character, so I don't spoil upcoming events in The Dance of the Dragons. However, However, I will say that Cregan Stark created large shoes to fill for his descendants decades later, which is why fans like me are pretty eager to see how he gets portrayed in the show. And finally, we have the Starks we knew and loved so well in Game of Thrones. I don't need to explain much about them. However, I will say if you are interested in me doing character essays about these Starks or any of the other characters you know, then please check out the website to find out how to let me know. If enough people request it, I may do so in a future season of this podcast. As I mentioned not long ago, House Karstark originated as a branch of House Stark. However, I should point out that unfortunately, Dan and David made the choice of oversimplifying House Karstark's actions after Robb's and Catelyn's decisions in the Riverlands. Lord Rickard Karstark had 3 sons and 1 daughter. Lord Rickard and his sons follow Robb south, while his daughter Alice stays behind in Carhold with her great uncle Arnulf, who is the Castellan. Her brother Harrion is the only surviving Karstark in the south and is held captive. He is the rightful new Lord Karstark. However, Arnulf has been plotting to take over the lordship with Roose Bolton's help. He declares for King Stannis, hoping that the Lannisters will kill Harrion and cause Alice to become the heir. He plots to have his son Cregan marry her, but things don't quite work out the way he planned. Alice flees to the wall, finding sanctuary with her distant cousin, Lord Commander Jon Snow. It appears that part of Alice's storyline in the novels was given to Sansa in the TV show. Sansa had a very different storyline in the novels. I'll talk about one aspect of Sansa's book storyline in another episode. House Umber of Last Hearth is one of the most northern of the Northmen houses, since their territory is just south of the New Gift. At one point in time, they were also kings until they were defeated by the Starks and became vassals. House Umber in general has a reputation of being loud, proud, and loyal. We are familiar with Greyjon Umber, who was the loud lord who had his fingers bitten off by Grey Wind for challenging Robb Stark in season 1 of Game of Thrones. In the show, his son Smalljon betrays the Starks by surrendering Rickon Stark to Ramsay Bolton. However, this never happened in the books, since Smalljon was actually killed at the Red Wedding trying to protect Robb. Also, it is clear in the novels that House Umber is very much loyal to the Starks. While the 2 Johns go south with Robb, Greyjohn's 2 uncles, Hother and Mors, are joint Castellans. Hother was sent to Winterfell to act as leader of Umber forces defending the north from the Ironborn. Officially, Hother had to swear loyalty to the Boltons since Greyjohn was still imprisoned at the Twins. Mors, however, promises to join Stannis under the condition that Hother would be pardoned and that Umber forces would not be forced to fight other Umbers. House Bolton of the Dreadfort is a house where its members were once known as the Red Kings until they were later defeated by House Stark. Their sigil is that of the Flayed Man, and their words, "Our blades are sharp." If you needed more clues that this house would cause people a lot of grief, I don't know what else could be done to make it more obvious. As we know from Game of Thrones, they readily took advantage of an opportunity to betray the Starks and gain control of the North. Of course, in the grand scheme of things, it seems ridiculous that they think they can actually maintain control of the North. Their elevated position as Lord Paramount and Warden of the North was only made possible because of the Lannisters. If there's one thing Northmen value most above all other things, is that you are a strong leader who proves their capability. House Bolton's betrayal and deception doesn't sit well with most houses, which is why it's more clear in the books that many of the houses are actively plotting against the Boltons. In fact, the books have a far more complex storyline than what was portrayed in the show. If you are interested in me discussing this in a future season of the podcast, head to the website to find out how to reach out. House Castle is a very minor house, which we know very limited information about. The only things we do know for certain are about the members of this house at the time of Game of Thrones. Ser Jorah Castle is the captain of the guards at Winterfell. He also followed Ned south to King's Landing. He was also the last soldier to die with Ned during the confrontation with Jaime at Littlefinger's brothel. He was the one Jaime stabbed in the face. His uncle was Ser Roderick Castle. Ser Roderick was master at arms for House Stark. He was the man who accompanied Catelyn Stark to the south to find Ned. As master at arms, he trains all of the guards and soldiers directly serving becoming House Stark. He was also the one training the Stark sons and Theon Greyjoy. In the show, Theon is the one who killed Sir Roderick. Meanwhile, in the books, it was actually Ramsay who killed Roderick. Ramsay led Bolton men to Winterfell, making Roderick and his party think they were backup to help retake Winterfell from Theon and the Ironborn. It was actually a trick where Roderick and his men were killed and the Boltons gained control of the castle. And we know what happens after that. Not mentioned in the show is the fact that there are other castles. Martin Castle was Roderick's brother and Jory's father. He was one of Ned's companions at the Tower of Joy and died fighting the Kingsguard station there. Sir Roderick had a daughter named Beth Castle. She was one of Sansa's companions at Winterfell. As far as we know in the book, she is still alive. As it was last mentioned, she was a prisoner at the Dreadfort. House Manderly is an important house in the North, as they are the lords of the only city in the North, White Harbor. As their name suggests, they were a house from the Reach, since there is a river in the Reach known as the Mander. As I will discuss in a future episode about the Reach, political machinations centuries earlier caused House Manderly to be exiled by a Gardener King. The Manderlys wound up in the North, where they were given lordship of the land they continue to control in exchange for fealty to House Stark. Like House Umber, this house maintains a reputation of unquestioned loyalty to their liege lord. It is a shame that this house wasn't mentioned or featured much in the TV series, considering they have a much bigger role in the books. They are one of the big anti-Bolton conspirators in the North. Also, interestingly enough, a small plot point involving the Manderlys was actually given to Arya in the TV show. It involves pies and three missing Freys. House Mormont of Bear Island we are familiar with from the TV show because of Lord Commander J.R. Mormont, his son Jorah, and Lyanna Mormont. Like with many of the houses I've talked about so far, there's a bunch of missing members of this family not included in the TV show, and they're all women other than Lyanna. J.R. Mormont actually had a sister named Maege who had five daughters. The youngest of them was Lyanna. So yes, young Lyanna Mormont was Jorah's cousin. After Jorah's flight from Westeros, Maege took over the lordship of Bear Island. Her oldest daughter, Daisy, died at the Red Wedding. Daisy's younger sisters were still up in the North. Alysanne actually represented Bear Island and joined with Stannis to fight the Boltons. The other interesting thing I'll mention has to do with Jorah. This doesn't really get mentioned in the TV show, but the wife whom Jorah dishonored himself for was Lyanna Hightower. For those of you who watched House of the Dragon, yes, it is that House Hightower. Lyanna was the youngest of many siblings, and one of her older sisters is named Allery. Allery married Mace Tyrell, which means she was Loras and Margaery's mother. So yes, at one point in time, Jorah was technically Loras and Margaery's uncle. House Poole is a minor house in the North. There's very little information available about this house. However, I had to mention this one because of the two known members in it, Vaon Poole and Jane Poole. Vaon was the steward at Winterfell and joined Ned south to King's Landing, where he tragically dies with most of the household servants. His daughter Jane was one of Sansa's companions and was basically her best friend. Jane plays a more significant role in the books than in the TV show, where she was played by a random extra in some of the Winterfell scenes in season 1. In fact, some of Jane's storyline in the books was given to Sansa in the TV show, which on a personal note, I most definitely didn't like this fact, and neither did a lot of book readers. Again, if you are interested in me discussing more about this point, please let me know. House Reed of Greywater Watch lives in the Neck. They are acknowledged as the leaders of the Crannog Men. The Crannog Men are the people who live in the Neck and are known for their skills in stealth and knowledge of the swampy environment. Like other Northmen, they are descendants of the First Men. At one point in time, the Crannog Men had a Marsh King who led them. Eventually, they submitted to House Stark after King Rickard Stark defeated the last Marsh King and married his daughter. The limited information we have about House Reed in particular is what we know in the novel. We're only told information about three members in particular, Howland Reed and his two children, Mira and Jojen. As we know, Mira and Jojen helped Bran and Rickon escape the invasion of Winterfell. Later, they assist Bran on his search for the Three-Eyed Raven, or the Three-Eyed Crow, as it is known in the books. Howland was briefly seen in the flashback at the Tower of Joy as the only other survivor with Ned. Howland doesn't appear in the 5 published novels, though he does get mentioned a few times. He actually had befriended Ned and his siblings. siblings when he also went to the tourney at Harrenhal. This is a pretty significant event in lore. However, I won't get too much into this story at this time. So again, if you're interested in me talking about this in a future season of the podcast, let me know. And that just about covers the basics of who's who in the North. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself about any of these houses and other people and places I didn't discuss in this episode, feel free to go to the full show notes where I will have links. Though beware, if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels and some possible material covered in the future seasons of House of the Dragon. Thank you for listening and tune into the next episode where we travel to a region famous for the tall peaks of its mountains, where we too can fly as high as honor. What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.